Hello, and welcome again to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton here with our New Year edition as we celebrate the past and welcome in the new with inspirational stories just for you.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Today we're going to talk with a survivor of the sex industry and hear her amazing story.
I'm John Graham, and what do marching bands have to do with the song, How Great Thou Art? Fox News anchor Todd Starnes joins us today on the Culture Connection to let us know.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we meet a missionary and teacher who gives her time to at-risk students, giving them love and acceptance they have rarely experienced.
I'm Myrna Brown. We're talking to Lauren Daigle. Is there a dove in her future?
Also today, a New Year thought from Dr. J. Robert White of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board on our Mission Georgia Moment. Happy New Year from Life with Purpose Radio.
Hey there, this is Juliana Smoke. This is one of my favorite stories over the past year because it's a story of redemption. And at her darkest hour, she met Jesus. Hope you enjoy.
Thanks, Juliana. Here is the story of Rachel McCool on Life with Purpose Radio.
At the age of 13, Rachel McCool tried her first drug. A year later, she sold her body to support her drug addiction. This began her path into pornography, prostitution, drugs, and stripping. On November the 9th, 2012, she decided she would end her life. And that same day, Rachel met the Lord through a group of women showing her and telling her that Jesus loves her. Rachel joins us today to share that there is not only life after sexual exploitation, but there is abundant life through our Lord. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi.
You know, I appreciate your willingness to share your story. Take us back to where it all began.
Well, I grew up in a small town in Northwest Georgia in what seemed to be a normal family, but it wasn't a normal family at all. There was a lot of dysfunction. So through some peers, I was introduced to drugs at 13 years old and didn't have a way to support this habit that I had picked up. Had another peer tell me, well, you can perform sexual acts for your drug use. And I was exploited for the first time at 14. And it was a slow process, I guess. Started working in the bar scene and then started doing pornography and then eventually started working in Atlanta at the different strip clubs and was introduced to professional escorting. And then before I knew it, I just was completely trapped in this lifestyle.
Mm. And the Lord not only showed you a way out of the darkness, but brought you salvation in the least likeliest of places.
Well, there were some ladies from a church down the street, and they would come into the club that I worked, and they would bring us food, and they would just love us, and we could see that they were different. And on November 9th, I woke up that day, I realized that I was living for nothing, and so I decided that I was going to commit suicide, and that was my real option. And so I went into work that night, and they were there. The ladies were there. And so a lady came up to me, and she said, hey, how are you? And I was like, I'm fine. But she definitely pursued the conversation, like, eagerly, and she kind of pulled me to the side, and she was like, are you doing okay? Is there anything I can do for you? And I was like, no. And then she said, are you sure? And something in me just broke. My mouth is open. I feel my guts to her. And she said, can I pray for you? She prayed for me, and whenever I left the club that night, I literally felt the presence of the Lord, and I could not take my own life. She just was like, Rachel, you need to get help now.
And she introduced you to Wellspring Living in Atlanta, Georgia, which is a restoration program for those seeking freedom from sexual exploitation and abuse. Tell me about the program.
What Wellspring Living does is they cater specifically to women that are coming out of sexual exploitation. So they have programs in place where they focus on certain issues, anything from childhood sexual abuse to drug abuse. And so they have specific things that they zone in on and get you healing. They have job readiness programs for when you're ready to go out back into the world again and teach you how to do resumes and job readiness and all of that. They have a long-term care facility, and they also have a immediate shelter as well. I was in the program for 10 months, and so when I got to Wellspring, this overwhelming peace came over me, and I knew that I was in the right place. At that time, I was not a believer. After a few days of staying there and just hearing the gospel, I asked one of the coaches, how do I put my trust in God? And so we sat there and we prayed, and I asked Jesus to take over my life because I realized at that point that I really couldn't do it, and I really needed a Savior. And thanks to Wellspring, they put these things in place to start the healing process.
Mm-hmm. And now you are a graduate of the program. Tell me what life is like now for you.
After leaving Wellspring Living, moved to Birmingham, Alabama to start my new life. And I took the skills and knowledge that I learned from Wellspring, I applied it to the world. Wellspring set me up not to just survive in life, but to thrive in life.
Oh, wow. Rachel, that is just an amazing story. You know, if someone would like to get more information on Wellspring Living, how would they go about doing so?
You can go to our website, and it's wellspringliving.org.
Rachel, I appreciate you taking the time to share with us. And we just praise the Lord for the work He has done and continues to do in your life.
Thank you.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When everyone is asking why, we answer with help, healing, and hope. We are Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. We answer. To help, visit BaptistRelief.org. A message from the North American Mission Board.
Thank you for listening each week to Life with Purpose Radio.
One of my favorite guests on the Culture Connection is Fox Radio commentator Todd Starnes. As football season started up in 2015, Todd joined us to discuss a marching band in Georgia that was taking a stand for faith and taking a lot of heat for it.
Let's go to John's pick of the past year for today's Culture Connection.
A nip is in the air and kids are taking to the football fields with great sports programs and, of course, amazing halftime shows. But for one school in Mississippi and another here in Georgia, the teams will be taking the field, but the marching bands have been benched in one way or another. Our friend, Fox News anchor Todd Starnes, has brought it to national attention, and he's here to tell you about it on the Culture Connection. Todd, welcome back to the program.
John, thank you very much. And you know, football in the South sort of goes together like biscuits and gravy, so you can't have one without the other.
It's a religion unto itself down here. There's no doubt about it. And I'm going to tell you, I was so disturbed when I heard this story. And, of course, I don't know, part of me says I should have seen it coming, but, you know, anytime this kind of thing happens, why don't you tell our listeners what we're talking about?
Well, we're talking about Lawrence County, Georgia. Dublin is the town, and the school is West Lawrence High School. And they have a long-time tradition of having a prayer before the Friday night football game. And then the marching band, as the prayer is about to end, the marching band segues in with an instrumental version of a hymn. And one of the hymns that they routinely perform is "How Great Thou Art." So anyway, there was someone, and we don't know who, but they complained about that hymn, and they said the hymn offended them, and so they fired off a letter to the Americans United for Separation of Church and State. So the school district got together, they met with their attorneys, and they determined that the prayer had to go. They decided to let the band go ahead and play whatever music they're going to play. But again, they did so under the threat of a possible lawsuit. So last Friday night, they had the opening of football season, and instead of one person getting up and leading the prayer, John, the entire stadium rose to their feet, the guys took off their ball caps, and everyone recited the Lord's Prayer together.
Wow.
Well, there's another school district in Mississippi,
okay,
and they're,
yeah,
ironically, they're facing a very similar situation with the same hymn, "How Great Thou Art." I don't know what it is about "How Great Thou Art." And so last Friday night, just before the marching band was about to take the field, the school board, really fearing they might be in violation of the federal court order, told the band they could not perform their halftime show. And they were afraid that if they had done so, that every individual that was performing or participating in that who worked for the school district could be fined $10,000. And I volunteered to pay that $10,000 fine should they decide to go ahead and play that song.
That's putting your money where your mouth is, for sure. Are you getting a sense that there is a remnant, perhaps, rising up to fight against this culture war that's going on?
I think that's a great way to describe it, and I believe that there is. We're starting to see young millennials become very active in protecting their religious freedom. It was several months ago I had the honor of speaking at Truett McConnell College, and I was very impressed with the students there and how engaged they are in the culture, and how the faculty, especially the faculty, seem to be on the same, sharing the same mindset that the students have. And it was an encouraging thing for me to see as well, knowing that there are, you know, Christian schools like Truett McConnell that are graduating young people into the culture so that they can engage the culture.
What do you think believers can and should be doing to deal with this?
Average Southern Baptist in the pew are already facing persecution. And so the question is, what is the pastor going to do? What is the church going to do? How are they going to stand alongside their congregations as they go through these difficult days right now? In the civil rights movement, where was the central hub of activity? It was the church.
Right.
And I believe that we should take a page from the civil rights movement as we engage in this fight for our rights.
It's so encouraging to hear from you. One of the biggest things is to stay informed, and people can do that by following your blog and reading some of your books. You want to give our listeners kind of a roadmap to that?
Sure. Folks can go to toddstarnge.com, and we have our events there as well.
Well, Todd, again, thank you for being with us. Till next time, this is John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and caring Christians around the world. And we hope our stories encourage you to live your life with purpose. And during this new year, take just a moment if you can and let us hear from you. Our email is always available, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And we look forward to reading your comments about the program, questions you might have, and if you have story suggestions, send those to us as well. You can also get to us online at facebook.com/LWP Radio or follow us on Twitter @LWP Radio. And again, we have a free book just for you. It's the book called The Coffee Shop That Changed a Church from best-selling author Steve Parr, and you can get it free. Here's the address, lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Once again, lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Just our way of saying thank you for being a listener to Life with Purpose Radio. Well, let's get back to our New Year edition and favorite stories from 2015. Myrna?
Thanks, Rod. We're talking to Lauren Daigle. Is there a dove in her future?
All right. Also ahead is a New Year thought from Dr. J. Robert White of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board on our Mission Georgia Moment.
I'm Ron Lawson of Life with Purpose Radio. I love telling the stories of dedicated people who give their lives in service to God and to others. One of my favorites is the work going on at the Academy at Double H Ranch, where Rebecca Morris serves. It's a story of sacrificial service.
And here is Ron with the story, Double H Academy.
For millions of children across the nation, school is underway again, and that includes a group of at-risk children who live in North Georgia. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a teacher and missionary who gives her time to help children who need special attention. Let's listen.
I'm happy to be on the phone today with Rebecca Morris. Rebecca is an educator and a committed Christian woman and is the driving force behind her husband, Alan, who serves as the North Central Area Missionary with the Georgia Baptist Convention. Rebecca, thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
I am so impressed to hear about your commitment to at-risk students in your area of the state, but there's a bit of background that we need to know about how this ministry got started and about the Double H Ranch. Would you share with our listeners a little bit about what's been going on?
Well, certainly. The Double H Ranch was the vision of one woman, Rebecca Hampton. She purchased the farm to start a horse rescue. She uses that ministry of rescuing the horses to be able to minister to other people. She is a certified equine therapist, and so she's had the opportunity, as she's healing these horses, she's also able to heal the troubled youth and girls that have been rescued from human trafficking. They're able to kind of bond with those horses. There's a real healing process that goes through that. She began connecting with boys and girls in the community who were from low-income, at-risk families. And she saw the great need there among the kids. There's a lot of poverty, of course. There is addiction, teen pregnancies, mental illness that you see in the home a lot. And because of her loving and warm nature, she really attracted those kids. And as she did, she saw many of them come to Christ, and there really wasn't an opportunity for them to learn more about God because they're from unchurched families, and as a result, they don't get much exposure to Christianity. And so she felt like they really needed to have a church that they would feel comfortable coming to, not just the kids, but also the families. And so she helped to start the Cowboy Church in Jerusalem, which it meets on the ranch. Through that ministry, she's seen many, many people come to Christ. So she's kind of gone from rescuing horses to rescuing people. These kids, when they're placed back into the public schools, even though they've made a profession of faith, that they're influenced and pulled back into that cycle of poverty and addiction. And so she felt like it would be wonderful if there could be a school started to minister to these kids.
Now, could you tell us how you got involved in this, Rebecca?
Well, certainly. She shared with us her vision for this school. She knew that I had a background in teaching in multi-grade levels, asked me if I would consider coming on board with that. And, of course, I had the opportunity of meeting these kids and seeing the great need in that area. And within a year, we opened the doors for the Academy at Double H Ranch.
Now, you've got all of these students in a single classroom. That's got to be an interesting situation. I understand you've got about 13 students or so, and you teach them in all grades from kindergarten through middle school. Is that correct?
That's correct. At first, we thought we were just going to have about 5 or 6 students around the middle grades.
Mm-hmm.
But then word kind of got out what we were doing, and before we knew it, we actually began the year with 15 students ranging in age from 5 years to 16. And so it has been a challenge. We have this time 8 different grade levels, and we've had to actually turn away students. We don't have enough room. We meet in the basement of Rebecca's house.
Mm.
But the thing that's really unique about this is that the older ones have become mentors for the younger ones. It's more of like a large family. There's a very safe atmosphere. The kids feel at home. The at-risk kids tend to be behind in their schoolwork. They don't perform well in traditional schools. They don't have any support at home for the most part. And so they're oftentimes the target of bullying. And so when the kids came in, a lot of them were unsure. They were really dealing with anger because of the way they've been treated. I rarely saw smiles. I couldn't get eye contact,
mm-hmm.
but over the course of a few weeks, it was amazing to see the transformation in the kids. They would come in running, happy, smiling, laughing, and just seeing the bonding that they were doing with one another.
That's incredible. So you've seen them getting well, and that's good to
and
see that emotional health.
Right. We have 4 days of traditional classrooms. And then one day a week, they work with Rebecca Hampton with the horses doing the equine therapy. And that just continues that healing process for them. It's heartbreaking to know how much misery some of these kids have gone through at such an early age. They've been exposed to so much of the baser side of life. To see them come in and have the opportunity where they can feel safe. Of course, our school is 100% tuition free. The kids don't pay a penny to come. We cover their materials. We also feed them 2 meals a day because a lot of the kids don't necessarily eat regularly or
mm-hmm.
don't eat well the right kind of foods at home. To have them come into this atmosphere where they can see what it's like being in a stable situation, where they're treated kindly, they're treated with respect, and they're loved. We've just seen them bloom over this first year. It's just been incredible.
I want you to know how thankful I am for this ministry, Rebecca, and the time and the energy, the effort, the basic knowledge, of course, that you're pouring into these young people, the normalcy that you're bringing to their lives. It's just an incredible thing. We're going to be praying for you. We're thankful for what this ministry is doing in these young lives. Thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate your prayers.
For more information on the Double H Ranch and Academy, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Myrna Brown here. I enjoy every interview I get to do. I mean, they're all my favorites. But I have to choose one. So it's Lauren Daigle. We spoke a few weeks before the Dove Awards. Well, she was nominated for 3. And of course, we know she won all 3. And now I think she's up for a Grammy. I feel like I know her. And after you listen to this interview, I hope you feel the same way.
Thanks, Myrna. And here is Lauren's story on Life with Purpose Radio.
I am guilty, ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One.
That song and the album by the same name has given singer-songwriter Lauren Daigle an impressive platform. 3. That's right. 3 Dove Award nominations. And here with us on Life with Purpose Radio is Lauren Daigle. Lauren, 3. Say 3.
3.
How are you?
How are y'all?
I'm good.
To be with you this morning.
Oh, it's good to be with you. And congratulations. That's so exciting.
Thank you so much. We are all kind of just in awe of what the Lord is doing. It's just the evidence of His hand in the midst of this story. So I'm so, so thankful, so appreciative. It's really beautiful.
You were at home in Louisiana when you got the news, right?
I was in Louisiana with my entire family, which was so fun. And my grandmother was sitting there with me. And I said, Nanny? And she said, what? I said, I have some news for you. And so I said, 2 Dove Awards. And she just bust out into tears. She was so excited.
Louisiana, as we said, is where you were born and raised. A lot of musical influence growing up there. But I understand that you almost, as they say, missed your calling. And had it not been for a serious illness, we might not be having this conversation today. Tell us some of that story.
Yes. When I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with an illness called cytomegalovirus. Being 15, 16, 17, those are some of the most exciting years of your life. You know, you get to get your driver's license and all these things that would make you want to go, go, go. And I had to just be still. It was incredible, though, because God came and met me and showed me what was to come, so that I wasn't weighed down by the present, so that I was able to look forward to what He had in store.
And we can add that you also went on a mission trip.
At that time, when I was about 18, my health was being restored. I went to Brazil, got to build a church down there, make some beautiful friends. I've also gone to China and worked with gospel ministries down there, helping women that are involved with the prostitution circuit. And it's pretty incredible to see the hand of God moving in those rings. Mm-hmm. He is alive and present, and hearts are being brought to the Father, and it's absolutely beautiful.
And then there was American Idol.
That was an interesting season. It was really a beautiful time because the Lord showed me my heart for worship. I would rather lead worship for my church of 1,500 people than be on the stage with millions of viewers.
Wow.
If that means that I still have Your presence.
Wow.
And it just clicked in my head in that moment that, oh, wow, the whole reason why He brought me to American Idol was to get to that exact place so that He could show me how He has transformed my heart to love and adore worshiping Him beyond all things.
And Lauren, I would say that was just as much of a mission field as Brazil and China.
Oh,
would you agree?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's amazing because God has put so many Christians in that circuit. We would have prayer sessions together and everything while we were on American Idol.
And here you are now, Dove nominated and all, and everybody loves the song How Can It Be. What are your favorites?
Once and For All.
God, I give You what I can today. These scattered ashes that I hid away, I lay it all your feet. From the corners of my deepest shame, the empty places where I've worn your name, show me the love. I say I believe.
And power to redeem.
You take what is, and you make it beautiful. When love floods in, we're restored forevermore. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free.
Lauren Daigle, what a pleasure it has been talking to you on Life with Purpose Radio. The new project is How Can It Be?
Awesome. Thank you all so much for having me. This has been such a sweet time.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
As we wrap up our special New Year's edition of Life with Purpose Radio, we give our final thought of inspiration for this new year to Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board and Life with Purpose Radio.
When Catherine of Siena wrote these words, she was thinking of God. I can love you more than you can love yourself. And I watch over you 1,000 times more carefully than you can watch over yourself. The more trustfully you give yourself up to me, the more I shall be watching over you. You will gain a clearer knowledge of me and experience my love more and more joyfully. Reading those words, I was reminded of the words of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. These are good words for the new year. The best way I know to begin a new year and carry it through to successful conclusion is to do so by trusting the Lord with all your heart. He loves you more than you can love yourself. He is watching over you more than you can watch over yourself. Trust Him.
On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. And we hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard the faith story of Rachel McCool, Todd Starnes, Double H Academy, and Christian musician Lauren Daigle. See you next time for more stories of people living their lives of purpose. And check out lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, have a Happy New Year, and thanks for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.